A little message this morning entitled "The Prisoner." The prisoner. Ephesians 4:1 said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." Now, this is an admonition from the Apostle Paul for godly living. The idea here is if you are bound to Christ, that is, you're His prisoner, then you ought to live a life that reflects that. Amen. You ought to walk worthy of that vocation. You ought to walk worthy of that name. Now, in our modern culture, we've lost a great deal of the sense of that. Churches are so desperate these days to get membership so they can get money, so they can build buildings, so they can get people, so they can, you know, that we're not interested in godly living, in being a separate people or a peculiar people like the Bible admonishes. We don't have any real emphasis on standards or separation or anything like that these days. Just come as you are, live like you always live. Go ahead, drink, cuss, swear. We'll just pretend we don't see it. Shack up, do whatever you want to do. Come on down. As long as you'll come, put a dollar in the plate, you're welcome. Well, that is true for sinners. We'll let anybody come as long as your nakedness is covered and you're not disruptive. Amen? Now, if you come down totally immodestly clad, then we'll have to deal with that. And if you're disruptive, we'd have to deal with that. But other than that, anybody's welcome to come. We want everybody to come. We want the vilest, most wretched, miserable soul on the planet to come. But once you make a profession of faith, once you say, "I'm saved, I'm a Christian, and Jesus Christ has taken you prisoner," we expect you to start living better. Amen. Amen? People say, "Well, Jesus loves me just as I am." No, He loved you as you was, but He wants you to change. He wants you to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Amen. Your Christianity is not supposed to leave you like it found you. Amen. And so, anyway, I don't want to get too sidetracked in that. I want to talk to you about the prisoner this morning. If you're saved, you're a prisoner. You've been bought and paid for. The Bible says you're a bond slave. You're a servant of Jesus Christ. You're a prisoner. Now, most folks say, "Well, I don't want to be a prisoner." Because we always think of that about incarceration and all the bad things associated with being a prisoner. And there's a lot of truth in that. But the truth is, you're either a prisoner to sin and Satan, or you're a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, I want to talk to you about the kind of prisoner you ought to be. Now, the Bible, which is my favorite book, I've read it more than I've read any other book in the world. Amen? And I'm still trying to read it, and I'm still trying to learn it, and I'm still in love with it. But I've always taught, because I've always believed, that the Bible is the final authority on everything. If you want to know something about something, find it in the Bible. If you just quit being lazy and look and read a little bit, it's amazing what all's in that book. It's amazing how many subjects are covered in that book. And so when I got to thinking about this being a prisoner thing, I said, "Well, what does the Bible say about it?" And I'm just going to give you a really brief overview because I have a 10-point message here that I've got to get on to. But here's some of the things that the Bible talks about. In Judges chapter 16 and verse 21, people have to work in prison. In 1 Kings 22:27, they eat in prison. In 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 29, they have to wear prison clothes. In Jeremiah 52:11, some people get life in prison. In Jeremiah 32:8, sometimes people get visitors in prison. In Isaiah 42:7, sometimes people get released from prison. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 10, sometimes people die in prison. In Matthew 25:44, sometimes people are sick in prison. Now see, I bet you didn't think that all was in there, did you? I mean, and I'm just giving you a little bit of it. There's two whole columns of jailhouse talk in the Bible. Amen? Who started the first prison ministry? Well, Jesus Christ did. First Peter, he said he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Amen? Anyway, In Acts chapter 5, verse 19, sometimes the doors of the prison are open. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 24, sometimes people are in solitary confinement in prison. In Job chapter 3 and verse 18, sometimes people get to rest in prison. Matthew 27, verse 15, sometimes prisoners get released. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, sometimes people sing in prison. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19, you get preaching in prison.
Amen.
So the Bible got a lot to say about it, and so I just want to draw some parallels between the prisoner being a prisoner for Jesus Christ and what we know about prison life in this world. And there are some great similitudes. Now, you're not going to like some of them, but that's just the way it goes. Nobody likes prison. Amen. So I'm going to give them to you and then and trust that the Lord will speak to your heart. The first thing is this. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul is the prisoner of Jesus Christ. That means he's not at liberty, he's a prisoner. Now, anytime you think about a prisoner, you can think about a prisoner in a prison like Alcatraz or one of those famous prisons. Or you can be a prisoner in the local jail. Or you can be a prisoner handcuffed to a U.S. Marshal going from one point to another. See? Anytime you are detained against your will and forced to abide by the rules and regulations of a higher power, you're a prisoner. Amen? Now, some folks are prisoners to sin. They can't quit smoking, they can't quit drinking, they can't quit doping, they can't quit being immoral. They're captured and they're held prisoner by sin. Well, that's a terrible prison to be in. Amen. People say, well, I can quit anytime I want to. Then why don't you want to? You say, well, I know this is not good for me. You know, I know it's got 69 poison in it. And I know it's killing me. And I know it makes me smell like the devil. And I know you can eat all the certs you want to. And you still stink. And boy, it smokes up your car. And all your clothes have got little burn places in them. And all your furniture's got a little burnt place on it. Amen. I know all that, and I can quit anytime I want to. Well, how come you don't want to, stupid? You must be an idiot. I mean, if you know all that bad stuff, how come, and you can quit, how come you don't? Anyway, you know, I'll tell you why, you're a prisoner. It got you, you know, it got you. Drinking's the same way. People say, I can quit anytime I want to. I know that 80% of all alcohol, fatal automobile accidents are alcohol related. I know the biggest cause of divorce in America is alcohol. I know that highway accidents and lost time from job and insurance claims are related to alcohol, and I can quit anytime I want to. And I would too if I got this problem with my elbow. I can't keep it out of my face. So what's your problem? You're a prisoner. Amen. The Chinese have a proverb, they say, man take drink, drink take drink, drink take man. Amen? So what do you mean? They call it a habit. No, you're a prisoner. It's overpowered you and it's handcuffed you and you're in jail to it. Amen? You just fool yourself and quit anytime you want to. The best thing to do is don't ever start and you don't have to quit. Amen? Now, I want to give you these 9 or 10 things here about parallels between prisoners and Christians. Number one, if you go down to the jailhouse, I'm talking about the big house now, I'm not talking about the detention center where you're waiting on trial. If you go down to the jailhouse, we used to go down to Columbia and visit some of the Rose family's friends down there. And and I'm not being ugly, brother. I've had some in there myself. Amen. But we used to drive down there and visit this fella because he was in jail. And the reason he was there is because he had been tried and found guilty and convicted. Amen. Now, the first thing you need to learn is that most prisoners are tried and guilty and convicted. Amen. And I want to plead guilty. If you go down to the jailhouse, everybody's saying, I'm innocent. I didn't do it. They framed me. It was somebody else. It was the one-armed guy with one hand, you know. No, it wasn't. It was you. Amen. And by the way, you know, they say that most people got into prison for exactly the same thing. 99% of all the people in jail are in there for the same reason. You say, well, some of them robbed banks, and some of them were rapists, and some of them were murderers, and some of them were thieves. Well, I understand that, but they're all in jail for the same reason. You know why they end up in jail? Trying to have a good time. You know why they stole the money? You know why they were a thief? They all did it to have a good time. They're all in there for the same reason. They let their love for pleasure outweigh their common sense and their discretion. They're all in there for the same reason. They just committed different crimes. Anyway, if you go down there, 99% of them are guilty. You say, well, you know, some of them are convicted and they're innocent. Well, I tell you my philosophy about that. Probably simple-minded. I'm a very simple person. If you hadn't been hanging that, so close around all them bad guys, and if you hadn't been spending so much time in the wrong places, they never would have suspected you in the first place. Amen. I've just always figured if there's enough smoke, there's fire somewhere. Amen. So if the guy's in there and he's innocent, he's probably just innocent of that one thing. He's guilty of something else. So I don't worry about him too much. Amen. But as a general rule, you go down to the jailhouse, to the prison house, and the folks in there have been tried and found guilty and convicted. Now, there's a parallel between there and the Christian prisoner. I'm here to tell you that I've been tried and found guilty and convicted. I am a sinner. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Now, some of you fine folks sitting there looking so pretty and so innocent and all that, you just wicked as hell itself, and you know it. You've got a dirty old mind and a mean old spirit and a wicked heart. And you're a rebel against God, and you're contrary to mankind. And if the truth be known, you're just as mean as the devil and wicked as you can be. And you're guilty, guilty, guilty. Amen? The thing you ain't done is you ain't been tried yet and found guilty. Buddy, I'll tell you what. On March the 4th, 1972, Lot 15, Briarwood Trailer Park, Meridian, Mississippi, I was sitting at my kitchen table and the High Sheriff of Glory rode down from the hills of heaven and arrested my soul, and I was tried in the court of law up in glory and found guilty of sin and breaking the heart of God Almighty and being contrary to Him, and I was sentenced to die. Amen. Buddy, they took me prisoner, and I was found guilty. And I'm here to tell you, I got enough sense to plead guilty. I tell you what I did that night. I throwed myself on the mercy of the court. I did not stand up before God and say, I demand justice. I want no justice. If I got justice, I'd be dead and in hell. Amen. What I did, I said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, boy, I tell you what, it's a good thing we got a merciful God. Amen. The Bible said, keeping mercy for generations. Amen. And when I said, Lord, have mercy, the great God of glory looked down on a wicked sinner, guilty and condemned and convicted, and said, I will have mercy. Amen. So down to the jailhouse, most of the folks in there, most of them prisoners, are guilty. Now, you live in a day and age when nobody's guilty of nothing. Because ain't nothing sin no more. And I don't care what people do. Mamas and daddies are going to put up with it. And deal with it. And they're not going to throw them sorry youngins of theirs out. And they're not going to do what's right because it's hard. They say, well, preacher, they're my youngin. If what they did is wrong, you have to do what is right. Amen. People say, I just don't know how our world got in the mess that it's in. I'll tell you how it got in the mess we're in. Because we've got a bunch of folks out there doing stuff they ought not to do, and nobody condemning them for it. Nobody finding them guilty of anything. Amen. You got little old boys and girls shacking up and living together, and mamas and daddies just putting up with it. Well, preacher, you know, they get to a certain age, there just ain't nothing you can... Sure there is. Throw them out. Don't support them. Don't pay their bills. Amen. When somebody does something contrary to God's law and that is demeaning or degrading to society, don't be guilty of supporting it. Amen. Number two, prisoners are tried and convicted. When you're in prisoner, your appetites are controlled. Now, you may not have noticed it. I'm going to give y'all a fair warning. Some of y'all young kids that are living on the wild side and think you're being cool and you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and you can get away with it, you know. And you're smart enough, you know, they're not going to catch you. You're going to get away with it. Go ahead. One, they're going to catch you. Two, you ain't smart enough to get away with it. If you was as smart as you thought you was, you know you're too dumb to do it. Amen. You're not going to get away with much these days. It's like that hillbilly, you know. He was a police officer in a little old town, and this guy come flying through there. And the guy used to poke fun. He said, "They can't catch my old Chevrolet." But then old boy got him a radio in his car. He said, "You might outrun my old Chevrolet, but you can't outrun my old two-way." They get you. See, sooner or later, they're going to get you. They're going to get you. You're not smart enough to get away with it. Most crooks are stupid. If they had any brains, they wouldn't be crooks. They'd understand they can't get away with it. Now, when you become a prisoner, they control your appetites. You're a drug user. Well, you ain't going to get to do that in there. Amen. Amen? You like to drink. Well, you're not going to get to do that in there either. Amen? You were immoral. You're not going to get to do that in there either. Unless you're one of them weirdos. Amen? I mean, if you're an abomination to God, I guess you can do anything. But if you're normal, He will curb that appetite too. Amen. That is, all the things you like to do and all the things you think are wonderful and fine, all the stuff you think, you ain't going to get to do none of it. They're not only going to tell you what to eat for breakfast and lunch and dinner, which you ain't going to like. They're going to control all your other appetites too. You're not going to eat what you want to eat. You're not going to participate in all the things you want to participate in. All those habits and all those appetites you developed out there that are contrary to law, why you're probably in there in the first place, guess what? You don't get to feed them in there. Which just reminds me of how it is to be a Christian. There's some things us saved folks can't do. Amen. People say, "Oh, well, I'm saved, you know, but I've got liberty. I can do anything I want to do." No, you can't. I don't know who told you that dirty, rotten lie. That Bible said all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Amen. Paul said, without law, yet not without law to Christ. Then he turned around and he said, he could do this, that, and the other. He said, but the love of Christ constraineth me. See? A constraint, that's a handcuff. That's a rope. That's a knot. That's something that holds you back. There's something that keeps you from doing certain things. That is, there's things that I could do when I was lost that I cannot do when I'm saved. I'm a prisoner now, and I'm bound. I'm handcuffed. I'm chained up. I'm put in a cell. And there's certain things I just can't do anymore. Amen? Amen? You folks that are saved by God's grace, you've got to get rid of that liquor you've been drinking and that beer you got in your refrigerator. Amen. And you got to get rid of them left-handed cigarettes with that Mary Jane stuff or whatever it is in there. Amen. And immorality you've been practicing all your life. That's wicked as hell, and you got to give that up. When folks get saved, they quit shacking up. Amen. They get married. They live right. They're decent. They're moral. Marriage is honorable and all the bed thereof undefiled. But adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. See? So when you get saved, there's just some things you can't do anymore. Places you can't go anymore. If I was lost, I could go to the beer joints and the honky-tonks. Can't go there anymore. Why? My handcuffs won't let me. Amen. Not only is a prisoner tried and convicted, a prisoner's appetites are controlled. A prisoner's dress is dictated. I go out here to the prison. You guys go out here to prison. Now, I don't know about on the detainee side. People hadn't been to court yet. But if you've been convicted and they put you in the big house, they give you a set of clothes to go with it. Amen. And it says, South Carolina Correctional Facility. Usually white letters on an orange suit. Amen. Sometimes they got little gray uniforms, a little stripe down the side. But all them prisoners, they look like penguins because they all dress just alike. Amen. Amen? You say, "Well, I don't like this color. It doesn't go with my complexion." Too bad. You have to wear it anyhow. You say, well, I don't like this. It's too baggy in the seat. Too bad. I don't like this suit. They won't even hem it. I got to turn 2-3 cuffs on it. Because the fella had it before me was 6'6" tall. And I'm only 5'11". Too bad. Hey, man, you can't go to the wardrobe and pick out what you want. You can't run to Belk's, to the men's shop, and get you one of them customized suits and have it tailored. Everybody in the prison, all their clothes are dictated. This is the uniform of the day. And we will all dress in orange if we want to play. Amen. You go down there, you see them old boys on the chain gang. They all out there with them same leg irons on and them same orange jumpsuits. Amen. And there's no option about it. Now, the point in that is so that if somebody breaks and runs, we know who the prisoner is. When you come by and see them boys on the side of the road, you know. So them boys have been down, been tried and found convicted, and they sent them down the road and they're down at the big house. Amen. Them boys are prisoners. And they out here making little ones out of big ones. They out here picking up trash in the ditches and all that stuff. Everybody knows who they are. They are so recognizable. They are so identifiable. Not even the mentally retarded can miss who a prisoner is. Amen. Now, I therefore the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Some of y'all wish I was stayed at home this morning. Well, I'm glad you came, but I've been wanting to do this for a while. Some of y'all need it. You ought to dress so that everybody knows you're a Christian. Amen. You run around with them little old snug-fitting blouses and stuff these girls got on these days, you know. It's a tube about that big around. And you try to put a body this big in it. Amen. And go strutting around. And somebody forgot how to make a top. Ain't it pathetic when the V in your blouse or your dress or your skirt is so low that you've got to put another piece of material across this way to hide your appendages? Amen? But it still does draw attention. You know, if you got on a black blouse and you put a piece of white cloth across here and you got a V down like that, we all looking at the same thing. Amen. I mean, you ain't got to have a lot of imagination to figure out what's back there. Amen. You're just making it easy. You're just putting a target on it. It's crying shame. Then they run these little old dresses and skirts and stuff around here. You couldn't sit down and not show yourself if your life depended on it. And they sit down, you know, and they go like this. Let me tell you what will help you with that. About 12 inches of material. Amen. Amen. People say, well, I don't wear dresses because they're immodest. You have to be so careful. Susanna Wesley, who lived about 300 years ago, made this statement once. She said, anything a woman cannot do in a dress and be modest, a woman does not need to do. Amen. So if you can't play soccer in your dress and be modest, don't play soccer. Amen. Amen. You can't kick and fight and do whatever it is you want to do and be modest, then give that up. You're a lady. You're supposed to be a Christian lady. You ought to dress like one. Your attire ought to be dictated by the person who you're in prisoner to. Amen. You go down to the jailhouse, the state tells you what to wear. You get saved by God's grace, God ought to tell you what to wear. And it ought to be clean. It ought to be modest. It ought to cover your nakedness. Amen. You ought to dress not like the world. You ought not to run around here in them little old... I saw a fella last... We went to dinner. Was it Friday night? We were at Olive Garden. And there's a bunch of folks right across from us. And there's this stringy-haired, long-haired, hippie-looking dude with an earring in each ear and a bone through his nose and, you know, trying to look as African as he could. Had on a black T-shirt with the big old armpits in it, you know. I don't know why he wears a T-shirt for. Amen. You know, the reason we wore T-shirts was to absorb the sweat from under our arms so we didn't stain our shirt. That's why you have undershirts. Amen. Well, he's got this tank top looking thing. Looks like I don't know what, armpits hanging out, hair all over the place, blowing in the breeze. He's sitting there, you know, his old long shaggy hair and his old nasty looking clothes, and he looked like he had a bath, I don't know when. And he's in there eating. Why am I telling this story? Do what? But I'm glad y'all, somebody's listening. He dressed like the devil. I mean, he looked like the devil. His nakedness, there wasn't nothing modest about what he had on. And some of you ladies are always getting mad because I'm always telling the ladies to dress nice. Ladies dress nice. Ladies ought to be modest. But God, you men ought to dress modest too. Amen. It's as wicked for a man to go outside without a t-shirt or something on as it is for a woman to go out with her bikini top on. Amen. You're supposed to cover your nakedness just like she does. Amen. 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 I got to be careful. I won't get none of you's back, you know, if I give you the whole load. Huh? Too late now? Well, bless God, you men ought to run around your house. You ought to wear your clothes there when your kids are running around. Amen? I don't know why you think there's a special dispensation at home that don't apply outside. You husbands and you daddies run around. You got little old girls in that house. They'll never see you without your t-shirt and stuff on. Amen. Amen. So, well, I'm at home. I don't care where you're at. Dress is dictated. You ought to dress like a Christian. Amen. The world looks at you. They ought not to think Bon Jovi. They ought not to think Bud Light. They ought not to think Marlboro Country. Amen. Why in the world Christian mamas and daddies let little old boys and girls live in their house and drink their tea and eat their fried eggs and all that stuff and then run around with Bud Light t-shirts on? It's supposed to be a Christian home and a Christian family and a mom and dad that's saved by God's grace. How come you're running around looking like the world and advertising for beer and cigarettes and prostitutes and whores and stuff and dope heads? Amen. Try having a Christian home for a change. It's just a house with Christian stuff in it. Now, not only that, I got to hurry. I only got 15 minutes. Oh, man. And I'm having such a good time. The prisoner's tried and convicted. His appetites are controlled. His dress is dictated. And his activities are curtailed. Do you know that when they put you in the big house, they tell you what you can do and what you can't do? They give you so many minutes a day to shower and shave. Then they give you so many minutes outside, weather permitting, for a little recreation. Amen? And there's only certain things you can do out there. You can play badminton. You can play football or pump iron. Do a few curls and, you know. Play a little handball, a little racquetball, pitch a little horse, and that's about it. There just ain't a lot to do out there. Amen? You're not going to run free like you did before and participate in all the world's activities and all the world's games and all the world's because it ain't in there. Amen? There's some things they figure just ain't good for a prisoner to do. Here we are, prisoners of Jesus Christ, and we think we ought to be allowed to do anything and everything. Well, bless God, your activities ought to be curtailed. There ought to be some places you don't go. Amen. Amen. You say, where should we not go? Well, you ought not be down in them cat houses and honky-tonk and beer joints around here. Amen. Amen. All right, listen, if you have a blowout and the tires come off of your car and you drive it on a spindle so you get past Possum Holler. I don't want no record come pick me up out of the yard of that beer joint. Amen. Amen. That place is responsible for ruining more marriages than you can possibly imagine. That thing is responsible for ruining more girls and spreading more disease than you can possibly imagine. If my tires blow out in front of Possum Holler, I'm going to drive on the rims until I'm a mile down the road before I call the record. Amen. There's some places I just ain't going. I ain't going to a beer joint. I ain't going to none of them honky-tonks and all that nonsense. Amen. I'm not going to run down to Myrtle Beach when the rest of the world's down there running around with their clothes off. Amen. I ain't no nudist. I ain't into being naked. If you had a body like mine, you wouldn't take nothing off neither. Amen, brother. Folks go down there and say, oh, we're going down to the beach. Going down to the beach. We're just going to have fun. We're not going to drink or nothing. We're just going. Yeah? I'll tell you what, son. If I was at the beach, I'd have to put blinders on. I'm going to confess it. The Bible said, confess our faults one to another. This is a fault I have. Ever since I was a little boy, it's been real easy for me to look at pretty girls. And all the men in the place said, I thought so, except the queers that are here. Amen? I don't know what it is. God just put it in us, didn't He? Pretty girl comes by. I'll tell you what, boy, you got to crucify the flesh to close your eyes. Amen? And then you think you're going down to Myrtle Beach in the summertime. And they got them down there 17, 18, 19, 20, 25. Me and Lewis, 50, 55, 60. And you're not going to look. You liar. You liar. You expect me to believe that too, don't you? I ain't near as dumb as you are. You think you can go down there and not sin. I ain't that stupid. Amen. Let me tell you something. You go down there, you're going to look. You say, well, I may look, you know, but I'm not going to lust. Is everybody in your family retarded? Is it just you? Your brain's on vacation, right? Well, preacher, we go down there and we just do family things. We just have a good time, yeah, and dress like they do, right? Well, you want to fit in. I mean, you don't. Who wants to go down to the beach and be the oddball? You're going to go down to the beach and everybody else is running around in them little string bikinis and all this, that, and the other, and you're going to wear your long dresses? I didn't think so either. You know, the best thing you can do is just stay away from that place. You're a prisoner of Jesus Christ. There's some places you ought not to be allowed to go. There ought to be some activities you ought not to be allowed to participate in. Amen. If you want to go to the beach, I got nothing against the beach. Well, I do. I hate it. But I hate all that sand and everything. But I don't have anything biblical against the beach. Jesus did walk by the seashore. But where He did, it was in the wintertime. He had to build a fire. Amen. So what He said? I'm saying the only time He went down to the coast was when everybody had their clothes on. Amen. Now, if you want to go down there in October, November, and December, help yourself. Go on down there and have a good old time. Do all that family stuff. I mean, you're just going down there to fish and eat anyway, right? Well, the fish are still there and the restaurants are still open. Help yourself. Amen. You're just going to have to eat with your clothes on. Number five, I'm hurrying. If you're a prisoner, you've been tried and convicted, your appetites are controlled, your dress is dictated, your activities are curtailed, and you have to associate with people of like circumstance. Now, you know, they take you down to the big house, close them. Boy, any of y'all ever been to a real prison? Are you talking about a... Oh, man, there's something about that place that gives you the heebie-jeebies. Y'all know what the heebie-jeebies are, don't you? That's a bad case of something. We used to go down and visit this fellow in Columbia. And you go down there, and they've got this gate thing out here, and you go in there, and you sign in, and they put a stamp on you and all kind of stuff. Then they march you down this long, narrow hallway with bars on the windows. And you get down to the end, and there's a set of gates there. And they've got these big, loud electric locks. When they click it, it goes, clank! It's like somebody taking a hammer and hitting a steel plate or something, you know. And that thing opens up, and you walk in. And what it is, if you look, this gate here, there's a fence all the way around the prison with this barbed wire stuff on top. And you walk through that, and at about 8 or 10 feet there, there's another one. Another gate, and another fence, and more barbed wire. To get out of there, if you could manage it, you'd have to cross this fence and this barbed wire, jump down, run 10 feet, come up across that wall, and that barbed wire, to get out. Now you're in the prison, but you're still not where the prisoners are. You've got to go on down there and they check your little thing. They just let you in. Them idiots are checking to see if I'm stamped. They put the little light on there. Okay, you're stamped. You don't have anything in your pocket. You don't have a fingernail file, none of that stuff. You walk down there. And finally they open this third set of doors and now you are finally into the prison proper. And you go in there and sit down, and we wait for the time for the prisoners to come in, and they ring this bell, and the walls in there are concrete block walls and tile floors. And you can drop a pin, and it rattles like a hammer in a 55-gallon oil drum. And so we sit down and wait. Then they bring the prisoners in, and they got shackles on them. And then things drag across that slate floor like this, because they can't go anywhere. They're cuffed. And they're dragging them chains across that slate floor. And here comes 50 of them. Man, I tell you what, the only thing you can think about when that happens is, I want out of here. And I want out of here right now. I'm serious, a heart attack, son. I decided the first time I ever went there, Lord willing, I ain't never going to jail. There ain't nothing on this planet I want bad enough to be in here. Amen. I like to go where I want to go. I like to eat what I want to eat. I like to wear what I want to wear. And I like social. I mean, buddy, when you're in here, you're stuck. Amen. That's a creepy, weird, nasty place. I mean, it's just a depressing spirit in there. They bring them prisoners in, and you look at them, they all dressed alike. They all got the same haircut. And the only people they get to have any association with is people just like themselves. Do you know who them prisoners fellowship with all week long? All weekend long? Holidays? Birthdays? Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving? The rest of them guys in orange suits. They only get to associate with people just like themselves. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know who I'm supposed to associate with? People just like myself.
Amen.
Let me tell you who all my friends are. All my friends are Lewis Steeles and Tommy Stewart's. Now, he's on the endangered species list, I bet. Henry Rose. Bruce Stewart. See why? Because those are all Christian men. They all wearing the same uniform. They all have the same appetites curbed. They're the people that's in prison with me. They're my fellow prisoners. We fellowship one another. We've learned to get along with each other because we're in this thing together. Amen? You say, well, some of my unsaved friends. Really? You want me to tell you the honest truth? This is going to sound awful. I don't have any unsaved friends.
Amen.
I don't have a single one.
Amen.
I know some unsaved people. I have to work with unsaved people. I'm around unsaved people. I'm polite and courteous to unsaved people. Amen. I'm not mean or hateful to them. I don't talk down to them. I don't belittle them. I don't think small of them. I'm a sinner just like they are. But when it comes time to go out to dinner or to go on a trip or to do something, if it's more than my wife and myself, it'll be somebody else that's saved by God's grace and lives like it.
Amen?
Amen. Now, our 45th anniversary is coming up here in about a year or 6-7 months, whatever it is, and we're going to try and take a cruise. We're going to go on a Christian cruise. Now, you say, what's that? That's where they close the bars. They close the casinos. They cancel all the floor shows. They cover it all up. And there ain't nothing on that boat but Christians and gospel music and food. I mean, they did leave us a place to sin. Amen. You can just eat too much. And we're trying to get some folks to go with us. We're trying to talk. Matter of fact, any of y'all want to go, see my wife, get your passport. We'll tell you got to make your down payment. We'll tell you all about it. And all y'all are welcome to go. It's about $3,000 for a couple. And we'll spend a week down in the Bahamas just fellowshipping, eating, and listening to Southern gospel music. And we invite any of you to go with us. Amen? Say what? I just want to associate with folks like me. Amen? I'm not one bit interested in associating with a bunch of unsaved people. I don't want to listen to their crude humor. I don't want to see their nakedness. I'm not interested in talking about their television shows. I've never watched some of y'all that do, help me out here. No, good night. You can't watch the commercial. No. Your reality shows. Survivor. I've never seen one of them things. That's not what I want to do. That's not my crowd. That's not my kind of folk. Amen? I want to talk to folks that love Jesus Christ and want to talk about the Bible and want to sing God's songs and say, pray for this and pray for that. And by, you know, some of y'all say, oh, that just sounds so boring. We still manage to have a real good time. Amen? I played golf with a Christian fellow yesterday, Brother Mike Fowler, my wife's cousin or uncle or something. But we played golf all day, and we cut up and teased each other. And I didn't cuss any yesterday. I was real good. And he didn't cuss any yesterday. Once or twice, but... And we still managed to have a good time. My wife and Sister Geraldine and Sister Nathalia went up to the Southern Women's Christian Christmas show. Now, I don't know why that is. None of us celebrate Christmas, but...
Oh, they have food, too.
Oh. But you went to look at all the junk. But you were in the presence of all that junk.
Yeah.
You wicked devil. Anyway, but the three of them went up yesterday and had a good old time and fellowship with each other. Christians can have fun. You ain't got to go drinking and whoring and all that and the other to have a good time and live the good life.
Amen.
I'm almost through. Well, I'm not almost through. I'm half through. I'll give you a couple of these and just move on. Number six, whatever it is. The prisoner is assigned to a certain work. Now, you know, if they put you in jail, you don't just get to lay around all the time. Somebody got to clean the prison. Somebody got to make all them license plates to go in the back of your car. Amen? Somebody got to do all that internet selling. There's all kinds of stuff for them guys to do down there at the jailhouse. Somebody got to cook dinner. Somebody got to wash dishes. Somebody got to manufacture shivs. I mean, there's an untold number of things to do down at the prison house. And so every one of them jailbirds gets assigned something to do. Amen? Now, we take Christians and you're a prisoner of Jesus Christ and you think you ought to be a prisoner and in the jailhouse and do nothing. You know, there's no place in the world, in any society, in any situation in the world where people are expected to do nothing except Christianity. It's the only thing you can find where people think they ought to be involved and be a part of it and put their name on it and say they believe in it and they're a member of it and then do nothing with it. Just sit there on your big fat backside Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and throw a dollar or two in the plate every now and then and swear to God Almighty you're a good Christian. How come you ain't doing something?
Amen.
You're a prisoner, ain't you? Prisoners get assigned a job.
Amen.
I'm moving right along. Y'all gonna wish I hadn't. I'd be glad I didn't get to preach some of this. You know something about prisoners? Let me end on a positive note. Upbeat. Prisoners are rewarded for good behavior. They take time off their sentence for good behavior. If you're not always getting in fights, if you're not stabbing people in the shower, they don't catch you smuggling drugs in for the inmates. If you're a model prisoner, if you do your job, keep your mouth shut, they say keep your nose clean. They take time off. Amen? You can get time off your sentence for good behavior. That is, you get rewarded for it. Now listen, if you're a Christian, you get rewarded for good behavior.
Amen?
Amen? The better Christian you are, the more rewards you get. Amen? The Bible said, see that no man take your reward from you. It says, see that you receive a full reward. God has got a program. If you're a good Christian, if you live the Christian life, if you do what you're supposed to, that is, if you are a good prisoner, you get rewarded for it. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want all I can get. I'm moving right along. Now, point number eight here, there are in the prison, while everybody dresses the same and they're of the same circumstance, not everybody in there is in the same situation. For example, in the prison, there's always somebody down in sick bay. And then most people are in the general population. And then some people are in solitary confinement, or what they call isolation. Now, they don't call it solitary confinement, but they say they're in isolation. Always playing with words. See? So, but in the prison, there's at least three groups in there. Some of the prisoners are sick, and so they take them out of the general pop and put them over in the sick bay and treat them until they get them well and get them back on their feet. And then some people are in isolation. You just can't have anything to do with them. They're so mean or so vicious or so corrupted that they can't be allowed to be in the general population. I hate to say this, but the honest truth is that in Christianity, while we are all saved by grace and we're all supposed to wear the same uniform and this, that, and the other, and we're all prisoners of Jesus Christ, a lot of Christians are at different levels. I know some Christians that are in isolation. They have done things and behaved in such a manner that you have to separate them from the general population. Amen? Then there are some that you still can have fellowship with them. You can still be around them, but they're sick. They need help. They're not healthy. We have Christians that need special encouragement, and we need to give them a special hand to get them grounded in the faith and get them settled in the faith and help them to get back on their feet so they can live for Jesus Christ. And then we have the general population, the average Christian who is saved by God's grace and grounded in the Word of God and got their life pretty much under control, more or less, somewhat, kind of, sort of. See? And so they're in the body of Christ. There are, while we're all prisoners and we're all guilty, and there's certain commonalities between us, there are certain differences about us. Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in sick bay, and I don't want to be in isolation ward. Amen? Then, last but not least, there's a fourth group in there. If you go down to the big house, there's always some on death row. You go down there and it's a special wing off to itself. And the only people on that aisle, the only people on that row, only people in that wing are people who are awaiting execution. They've done things that they've been tried and found guilty of and convicted, and the sentence is a death sentence. Amen? The Bible said that there is a sin unto death. And sometimes there are Christians in our midst who are on death row. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a little story there. And in the story, Paul is recounting the story. And he said, "And there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed might be taken from among you. But I, though absent body, present spirit, have judged already concerning him that hath done this deed. Turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." You know what he just did? Gave him a death sentence. Saved? Going to heaven? Going to an early grave? Yeah. Amen. Then last but not least, this is a great thing. Now, this is a contradiction to the normal process. Some people in prison have a life sentence. They're never going to get out. Wherever it is they are, they're going to be there forever. And boy, sometimes you ought to think about that. When the state gives somebody a life sentence, that means that they're going to have to live through their teenage years, and their middle years, and their waning years, into their old age. They might be 70 or 80 or whatever. They're going to get old and frail and sick, and they're going to have all the old age diseases and problems and all. Now you think about that and how that all has to be treated and taken care of for a big population confined to each other. I just don't think I want to get old like that. Amen. But that's the way prisons are. They've got a life sentence. They're not ever going to get out. They say, life without possibility of parole. To me, that's worse than a death sentence. But you know something? When I got saved, I just became a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And I have a life sentence without possibility of parole. And I'm just downright excited about it. So what do you mean? I mean, buddy, I got saved, and there ain't nothing you or the devil can do about it.
Amen.
Amen? I got a life sentence. No possibility of parole. So what does that mean? That means I'm going to live my life, get old and gray and fat in another 40 or 50 years, and become an old man and lay down one day and die. Going home to glory. Say why? Because I got a life sentence. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ for life and in death. Amen? No possibility of parole. You say, well, what if you don't get time off of good behavior? I'm saved anyway. Amen? Now, I want all the rewards I can get. I want everything to go smooth in the judgment seat of Christ, all that. But I'm here to tell you, I got a life sentence. I'm not going to be a Christian today and not be a Christian tomorrow. I'm not saved and then lost and saved and lost. I'm not in and out and in and out and in and out. I'm just in. They put me in, locked the door, sealed it, and the key went on home to glory. I don't get out till the key comes back. Amen? Let me ask you something. Are you a prisoner of Jesus Christ? Are you? Are you, all right, you say, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Anybody observing you, could they tell you were a prisoner? I heard a little saying one time that said, if you were arrested and hauled into court and charged with being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Do you look like a prisoner? You ever been in a prison house? You ever been in an old folks' home? Old folks have got an odor to it. You can't mistake them. You go in a jailhouse, they all got an odor to them. Every one of them. Every one of them. Just as distinct as anything in the world. And prisoners got a smell to them. They pick up the smell of the place where they're at. You smell like a prisoner? Do you dress like a prisoner? Do you behave like a prisoner? If they arrested you and hauled you in court today and charged you with being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. If you name the name of Christ, you are to live worthy of the name. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Thank You for saving us and keeping us and watching over us and loving us. Lord, there's a lot of things about prison.